Hey neighbors, Adam here, and I'm excited to tell you about something we're doing with the show. This summer, My Neighbors Are Dead is taking you to the northern woods of Michigan to Camp Whitlow Lake for My Neighbors Are Dead Summer Camp Massacre, a fully improvised multi-episode summer camp slasher. Join us as we piece together exactly what happened at Camp Whitlow Lake by bringing back some all-time favorite guests and introducing you to some new voices we're sure you're gonna love. And if you haven't checked it out, we have spanking new artwork for the series available on t-shirts and other merch for sale at TeePublic or the Campfire Media website. Just go to www.wearecampfire.media and click shop. Join us all summer long for My Neighbors Are Dead presents Summer Camp Massacre starting June 22nd. And now, onto the show. Welcome back to another episode of My Neighbors Are Dead. I'm your host, Adam Peacock, and we're all familiar with the big names in horror, Freddy, Jason, and now Chad. Who the hell is Chad, you might be asking? Well, he is the murderer of the Whitlow Lake Massacre. As you know, I've spent the past couple of weeks here in northern Michigan tracking down survivors, victims, and God willing, the perpetrator of these horrible crimes, Chad himself, all the way to Whitlow Lake here in northern Michigan. And this week, I have come to Dunlovey's Tavern. It's a bar that's open at 11 o'clock in the afternoon, and I've been lucky enough to come here and chat with a canteen lady, the canteen lady of Camp Whitlow Lake, Gladys Farm, and she is joining me now. Gladys, thank you so much for joining me.
You know, I have to thank you for even wanting to talk to me today. It's been a doozy. It's been a doozy lately.
I can only imagine. First off, I find it upsetting that more people don't want to converse with the canteen lady.
I'm the magic behind the scenes. You know, I'm the woman behind the curtain. I'm the one that makes, you know, we feed the campers. They mostly eat. They like to shove their food around. They like to bitch about the food. But I tell you what, the garlic bread comes out and they're singing a different tune. And you know what? I don't mind the anonymity of, you know, just making things happen in the kitchen.
Well, Gladys, I can tell you that my favorite lady when I was in high school was the cafeteria lady because she always delivered the Bosco breadsticks in the morning. So I loved her, and I'm going to love talking to you, especially about grisly murder. Unfortunately, that's something you've sort of become an expert in recently, huh?
Well, yeah, I've seen my share, much more than I thought I would. You know, when you know you're heading into a camp, you know things might, you're going to see a couple things that you'd rather not see when you're working with, you know, the youth so much, and they're away from their parents for the first time. So, you know, you're going to see some body parts that you don't want to, you know, because people like to go back to the refrigerator area and, you know, hump around because, hey, you know, they're not supervised. Sure. So I've seen my share of living parts. Gotta say, didn't think I would see well, things other than just like ground beef, ground chuck, you know?
Yeah. So as far as I understand it, previous to murder, Camp Whitlow Lake, by all intents and purposes, was a pretty nice place. So what attracted you to work at the camp to be a canteen lady?
Well, I mean, my God, the majesty of the lake, if that doesn't stop you in your goddamn tracks, I don't know if you have a soul. You know, I don't. Like, there's just something so goddamn beautiful about being right in nature there. Yeah. So yeah. I like that. Hey, it's a summer gig. I like to ramble around, you know, in the winter and the early spring. So it allows me to make my living in the summer and then do whatever I want to do the rest of the year. So, and you know, I showed up. I was actually 18 when I started. Much more older than 18 now. And a couple decades later, they just, you know, I don't even ask to come back. They just know I'm going to show up, you know.
Yeah.
Like April 30th, I show up to start planning meal plans and all that.
And what is that process like? I mean, does the camp give you some guidelines of these are the meals we need to have? This is what our budget is. This is the food that we have available. Or is it more or less?
Yeah. I mean, at first, you know, I didn't know my head from my ass, you know, the first few years there. Sure. But, you know, now it practically just runs itself. But, you know, I do accommodate for things these days. You know, there are a lot of gluten allergies and gluten sensitivities, and there are a lot of vegans and vegetarians. And, you know, I'm open to all that shit. So we just make sure that, you know, every kid is going to be able to eat safely. Well, there was a minor peanut catastrophe in the early 90s because some people didn't believe in peanut allergies. Sure. And it took one kid to almost, you know, kick it. And I mean die. I mean die. Oh, yeah, I don't mean kick it like hang out. Well, I'm learning terminology that children use. And sometimes kick it means, you know, hanging out. But sometimes kick it means die. And and prior to the summer, there were no deaths at Camp Whitlow. So peanut butter used to be, you know, my go-to thing, and I really got to watch it now. But other than that, yeah, you know, I kind of make the meals and the plans, and everyone loves the spaghetti and meatball night. And again, the garlic bread, I don't know what it is, but once that garlic bread comes out, everyone's my friend.
So last week, I was talking to camp counselor Chet Swagwin, and he was telling me, kind of cluing me in a little bit on the ins and outs of what it takes to be a camp counselor, the things you're prepped for, the things you aren't. And I think it's probably safe to say that even though there might be, protocols in place for if a kid gets hurt or, God forbid, a kid dies of a peanut allergy, I don't think supernatural death is a part of that. So what is the doomsday scenario, say, for a canteen lady when you show up on camp? Are you trained in CPR? Do you know how to suture wounds? Do you know how to perform, you know, the Heimlich maneuver? What is that role for you?
I know how to work an EpiPen, and I know, and thank God I've only had to do that three times, and once was on myself. I know a handful of those things, just, you know, being a woman in the world, I have to know that. There is some protocol. Protocol's definitely changed now. You know, thank God, you know, people have to be a little more sensitive now than they used to be. Call, you know, PC culture or cancel culture. I think it's great. I love it. Mm-hmm. Hopefully camp counselors won't be fiddling around with the campers like they used to, and et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, you know, I know an EpiPen, I know Heimlich maneuver, I know, you know, we don't do the tourniquet things anymore, what's the tracheotomy where you, you know, take the middle of a pen and you poke it through someone's throat? We don't do that anymore.
Oh, you don't do an infield tracheotomy?
That's it. Thank you. No. Yeah, that's not something that they, you know, require us to know anymore, which thank God, because I don't know if I could do that one. I like my pens.
I hate to lose perspective on the things that are happening, because there has been horrific murder there, but you'd said something, Gladys, and I don't want to lose it. You'd said the camp counselors and the campers, they don't hook up like they used to. Was there a problem at Whitlow Lake with a lot of camper counselor romances going on?
Oh, for sure there was, you know, in late 70s and then up again in like parts of the 90s. It got real. The lines got a little blurrier for me, you know. I fly solo, so that was never really an issue for me. But, you know, again, the refrigerator area is, you know, people think that I'm not back there, and I am. And, you know, middle of the night when I got to go check on, I don't know, whatever the hell it is, like, oh, is the refrigerator shut? Or, you know, am I going to have enough ground chuck for next Friday? If not, I'm going to order. You know, I wander back there and, you know, inevitably there's some duo, trio, sometimes four people, you know, just going to town on each other in the most awkward way. And, you know, part of me wants to be like, kids, that's not how you do it. But then, you know, part of me is like, hey, you don't know until you try. You know, and who am I to say? But the only time I'd real chime in is if I knew that, you know, someone was of an age that they weren't legal to be with someone else. But that's really back down, you know, now with iPhones, it's a little different.
Yeah.
Things get recorded and they can leak onto Tic Tac.
I certainly don't want to be one to sit here and condone camp counselor camper romance, but I will say that I think part of the joy of camp is that you get to learn and grow in your own body and become the person that you're supposed to be. So maybe that's just part of it.
Oh, it's totally part of it. And again, you know, things of that nature really made me who I am today too. So like, I won't judge it, but there is a line every now and again that you got to step in and be like, all right, everybody put everything away, get out, get back to your cabins. And if I see you here again, there'll be consequences. And usually people are so scared of me visually that they just run the hell away.
Oh, that's mean. You know? I think you're very fine looking. You're a very handsome
lady. Oh, my God. Thank you. And flattery will get you everywhere. But, you know, I mean, I'm a force to be reckoned with. I'm a lot louder than people think I am. And, you know, a short, stout person like myself jumping out in the middle of the night while you're, you know, humping around the refrigerator, it's going to startle the shit out of anybody.
I can't speak for anybody else, but I think for me that would definitely throw a kink in the in the rhythm. So I completely understand.
Yeah.
So talk to me, Gladys. I guess there's really no good way to get into this. Talk to me about the murder.
Yeah.
I mean, Chad, the Whitlow Lake lunatic, Whitlow Lake slasher, the Manson of Michigan shows up and kids start dying in your camp.
Yeah.
What is that like for somebody in the canteen business?
You know, it's not the best. It's not the best. You know, I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it. And, you know, I like a nice powder. You know, if you take a little powder sugar and a little lemon juice, you can make a beautiful glaze. You put that on some pound cake or lemon bread. My God, you know, you put that even on regular bread and some of those kids are going to eat it up. So, like, I know the power of sugar, but I'm not going to sugarcoat the fact that there has been such gruesome death in a camp has not boded well for any of us at the camp. And it's real sad. It's real shocking. I think I'm still in shock over what I found. It took me a little bit to figure out exactly what it was that I, you know, was stumbling upon. Because I thought, you know, we've got a food waste dumpster and then, like, you know, like the grease dumpster. It's separate things.
Yeah.
And at first I thought, well, damn it. You know, one of the KP, that's, you know, kitchen patrol, one of the KP kids tried to throw, I don't know, some weird food bits near the grease dumpster. And when I, because the flies were terrible and the effluvium was awful.
Okay. For those who might not know, those not in the know, will you explain what effluvium is? Because, of course.
Oh, effluvium is just a fancy word for saying bad smell. All right? It is. Look it up. And that's the only word I can really think of when I first stumbled upon what I thought was food waste. Or, you know, some kids like to take food back to their cabins. They hide it under their bed. They forget about it. And then it, you know, reeks to high hell and we got a rat problem. You know, I thought maybe it was one of those type of things. But it was not food waste that I found. It was not food waste that I found. It was an ankle.
Oh, boy.
It was an ankle.
Ankle? Really?
A whole ankle. Like, you know, like both sides of an ankle. And I think I'm going to assume part of a heel or the, what is that, the Achilles tendon back there?
Yeah, that's the Achilles tendon, yeah.
Sure.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what I mean, I didn't know that right away. Of course, you know, the cops kind of helped identify that once I called that in. But I hung on to that. Not because I'm a weirdo, but I was just like, wait, this isn't food waste. This doesn't look like no animal I've seen. I think this is kind of off. And then, there were just a couple containers that showed up in my freezer that I did not put in there.
And, I mean, so what was in those containers? I can only imagine what's going through your head once you...
Yeah.
At this point, you don't know that it's an ankle and an Achilles tendon.
No, no.
This isn't
no,
an animal
no.
you've seen, and you know this isn't food waste. So something's afoot, and there's a pungent effluvium in the air.
Yeah.
What's in those containers?
Well, you know, they were frozen. It was frozen at first, and I was like, oh, is this like a you know, sometimes the counselors like to, you know, they go off campus, they go buy alcohol, they make their stuff, and then they try to hide it in the freezer. And I look the other way, you know, like, I'm not going to begrudge anyone a vodka slush in the middle of the summer. I try again, you know, my place isn't to judge. My place is just to make the best goddamn food these kids can have and have a nice summer, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, you know, maybe someone's making like a red sangria slush or something, or I don't know, watermelon vodka slushy, because it was a very pinkish, reddish color. But when I did open up the container, and here's the thing, you know those like gallon buckets of ice cream that you get?
I love them.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm not going to eat those anymore because that was the container that was used. So I don't know if the ice cream was eaten beforehand and then these parts were put in, or if someone just wasted ice cream and dumped that in the dumpster. And then, you know, like that I can't judge. But I hope to God no one wasted the ice cream. I hope they ate it first. I'm going to assume this was Chad's doing. But, you know, I don't know if he's working solo or if he's, you know, has a... I don't know, a murdering buddy? I don't know. I don't know the kid personally. But yeah, so there, anyway, 2 gallon ice cream container bucket things were filled and hidden in the back of my freezer, and I found it. I don't know how long they had been there, but they were very frozen at the time. I thought it was an alcohol slushy, and it was not. It was you name it. You name it in there.
You know, I can understand why you might think that it's more than one person, because when something's so, there's so much human catastrophe and just madness and carnage. What do you think possesses somebody to do that? Because this seems like a lot of work. You know, I'm sure, you know, you must know, Chet was filling me in. So far we have bodies sewn together. We have now we have random ankles and gallon buckets full of sludge and who knows what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think gets somebody's mind to that place to do that to somebody?
I don't know. I mean, he's not lazy. That's for goddamn sure. He, you know, he's a planner, or she, they, I don't
know.
Could
be anybody.
It could be anybody. But yeah, no, I know the rumors are flying about Chad, so I'll just keep saying Chad because, you know, Chad is obviously someone, you know, who reads a lot. I would assume, you know, he's probably read a lot of stuff and he's probably watched a lot of YouTube videos on how to, you know, do certain things. And then, my God, he's a very creative person, too.
Sure.
Look, I'm just trying to, like, see the best out of things, but it's really hard because, you know, he's dealing, his medium is the human body.
Of course.
It'd be wonderful if, you know, he took up knitting with yarn or and knitting yarn to yarn, not yarn to body, like we know that he's knitted a couple other things together, and again, you know, creative guy, but messed up, you know. I bet some not great things happened to him when he was young.
I can only imagine. I mean, I don't think you get to that place by a community college or anything like that.
No,
I don't know how you end up there.
I mean, I heard that he did fall in a lake. I don't know what lake, but he did fall in a lake and he was underwater for quite some time. So I wonder, you know, as a child, if maybe he did a little damage to his brain, not getting enough oxygen to it. And if that doesn't play a part in it, you know, I've fallen in a lake before and been under longer than I wanted to. But, I came back up and I was okay. But, you know, I've had a handful of friends who have spent too much time underwater, and it messes with you a little bit. So I that's just a rumor that about Chad, about him, you know, falling in a lake and being under, I don't know if it was a canoe or kayak or something, but they couldn't find him for a while. They thought he was a goner, but then he popped back up. So I wonder if he lost a little oxygen to his brain for a little too long.
Well, just to remind everybody, we're here in we're in Whitlow Lake, Northern Michigan, sitting here at Dunlovey's Tavern. And you had said before that you had heard rumors about Chad. You know, maybe he fell in a lake, maybe he was underwater too long. And I'll be honest with you, Gladys, you can kind of feel his presence all around, or her presence, or their presence. We don't know. We don't know what's going on, but it certainly seems to permeate the town. What knowledge did you have about Chad before you showed up at Whitlow Lake to be a canteen lady?
What knowledge did I have about Chad? Well, when
did you know about it? Like, were there rumors going around? Did people talk about it? Did you take it seriously? You know?
Well, you know, there's always camp folklore and people love things to be haunted. So there was, you know, this old ghost that used to haunt one of the cabins when I first started. But then, you know, the ghost thing kind of became passé. And sure. So, yeah, rumors about, you know, a kid. And honestly, when the Friday the 13th movies started cropping up, you know, that's when a lot of rumors started flying around about old campers and whatnot. Now, sure. I've never heard that Chad himself was a camper. I didn't know him, and I've been here for a handful of decades.
Yeah.
He might have changed his name. But I do know that his family does have a lot of background in this area. It's an old, you know, old family. Okay. And
old Northern Michigan roots is
Yeah. And you know, they were a wealthier type of family or something, and you know, the Chad's, what would it be, great 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 grandfather, you know, had some illegal or shady dealings, you know, and there was a bit of a curse because of it. So I don't know if Chad is like a cursed child or not. You know how even people here at the bar, we talk about it all the time, you know, like what could have happened or whatever. But yeah, until this summer, I didn't really believe any of that until I found what I found, and other people found what they found, and the camp, you know, we had to close up a little early this year, which wasn't fun. You know, we were usually open through Labor Day, and, you know, not this year.
I've been lucky in my life, Gladys, to have never found an ice cream bucket full of human guts and goo.
Oh,
what is, I mean, is it business as usual for you after that? Because you'd said that the cops didn't show up until a little bit later to examine the ankle bone of the Achilles. So what do you do with that? Because that's taking up valuable real estate for your business. So what's the game plan after you find all this stuff?
Well, you know, at first it takes a little, here's the thing. I found the I'm going to just call it the slush because I don't know what else to call it. I found the frozen slush, you know, first thing in the day. I had to get through my day. I didn't know what it was. Okay. Didn't know what it was. But then as things were happening, I was like, well, hell, I don't think. And there was no like alcohol smell, you know, even when things are frozen, you can kind of smell the, I honestly, when I first found the slush, didn't know what it was as other body parts are being found around the camp, you know, as the days went on, I thought maybe we should investigate this further. And so I'm thankful I hung on to those buckets. At first I was pissed because it was taking up room, but then I had an ice cream delivery, like, I don't even want to get into it, but we had an ice cream delivery go late. So I had more room in my freezer for a little bit longer than I normally do, you know, at the beginning of June.
Sure.
So it was really unfortunately, as campers, you know, were getting killed and mutilated, that I thought, wait a second, maybe I should have this slush investigated. And then once I knew what it was, I kind of went into shock. Not going to lie.
Of course, how could you not?
No, usually Wednesday is, you know, the day we do the spaghetti and meatballs and garlic bread. To be honest with you, that week I didn't. Until Friday, make the spaghetti and meatballs and garlic bread.
Well, you know what I admire about you, Gladys, is that this is horrific. What you have found, nobody should have to experience, but you stuck to your guns and the courage of your convictions, and you fed kids spaghetti and meatballs. So I think that really just speaks to your character.
Oh, well, God bless you. Thanks. Sometimes you just get into that, what is it, survival mode?
Oh, yeah, fight or flight.
Survival mode, yeah. And I think that's what I was. I was kind of in shock. And you know what? When you find out that people are getting killed around you, you don't sleep that well. Or at least I didn't.
Sure.
And that might be a surprise to people. I don't know. You know, like, this is the first time this has really happened to me. Wasn't sleeping so well. So, you know, there were a couple weeks there that are kind of hazy for me because I was afraid for my life.
Of course.
I was afraid for my life and for my KP duty. You know, I had a couple real good helpers this year, and I was like, oh, shit, I don't want anything to happen to them. I mean, as people, but also they got a real future, you know, if they want, in the kitchen.
I The kitchen patrol sounds like a very fun job that I wish I would have known of when I was that age.
It can be. If you abuse it, you lose it. You know,
sure.
I'm all for, you know, we're here to have fun, but we're here to get a job done too. And, you know, there's a right and wrong way to clean up and rinse off dishes and clean things and, you know, their health codes and whatnot. And I don't mess around with that. But otherwise, you know, you do good. Look, I've got an extra stash of, you know, good humor bars for those kids who, you know, really help out.
I certainly don't think this, but I think in the interest of just trying to understand the story a little better and figure out what happened, were you yourself, Gladys, ever considered a suspect in the Whitlow Lake crime? So the cops ever come talk to you and were you ever under the microscope at any time for these murders?
Well, you know, it doesn't look good when such horrible things are found where you mostly dwell. So yeah, I was kind of getting the side eye and, you know, there was some tone that I did not appreciate.
Yeah.
But, you know, once I think they realized, oh, this, you know, this woman is, you know, she's Gladys. She's Gladys Farm. She's been here forever. You know, she loves this job. She's not going to mess it up. I think I'm in the clear, I would hope. But yeah, for a while there, I did even say, do you want me to step down for a while? Because my God, you know, I know how bad this looks. Yeah. Honestly, no one else wanted the job, so the camp just let me, you know, carry on. But yeah, I was monitored for a while by the cops. And that's happened in another instance that we don't need to go into right now.
Because,
you know, I like to do things in the winter and summertime, or springtime. But yeah, I think for this, they know that, no, I am not part of this whole Chad thing. I was an unfortunate, you know, wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah.
Right. Well, right. Freezer. You know,
I know a person is so much more than their name, but I think when somebody like you when somebody has a name like Gladys Farm, you just know that person hasn't done anything wrong, let alone committed at least triple homicide.
I hope so. I mean, I can't take credit for my name. It's what, you know, my mom and dad named me. But yeah, when you're Gladys Farm, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, do you wear overalls every day? Oh, milk any cows? You know, things like that. But then,
sure.
You know, once they know me, they're like, ah, Farm's here. Let's party. You know, and that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well,
I used to get,
hey, Adam, where's Eve? So I understand the pain that you've
God.
Gone through.
Oh, that's terrible. I'm sorry you went through that.
Gladys, do you think this should deter kids from summer camp?
Everywhere or just... You mean summer
camp in
general?
That's a good question. That's a two-part question. Do you think this should deter kids from every other summer camp except yours? And then should this deter kids from your summer camp?
Oh, boy. Well, in the long run, no. You know, keep going to camp, for sure. You know, the experiences and friendships and the bracelets you make there, my God, you know, like, there's nothing else like it. You know, until we know more about Chad... I don't know if I in good conscience can be like, yeah, come on up to Camp Whitlow because you'll certainly return home in one piece. You know, like right now, I hate to say it because, you know, this has been my home, my summer home for more decades again than I care to ever admit to. But I would maybe give it a few summers before coming back here specifically.
I think that's a reasonable, responsible answer, Gladys.
I try, you know.
Well,
I just try to be honest here. You know?
I thank you so much for coming and meeting me at a bar at 11 in the morning to come by.
Well, I'm usually here anyway, so you help justify me being here. They got a good lunch, but I come here and have, you know, a cocktail. And when I'm not working, I come here and
I'd love to buy you a Blatz. So, and also, Gladys, please, you don't have to if you don't want to, but I would love it if you came back at some point in the future and told us that other story that involved you and the police.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Once the camp's in the clear, then we can let that out. Yeah. Yeah.
Considered a date. Gladys Farm, thank you so much for coming by. And thank you for shedding a little more light on this story.
Yeah. Can't wait to find out more.
Thank you so much for listening to My Neighbors Are Dead. I've been your host, Adam Peacock. The show is produced by myself with Nate DeFort and edited by Nate DeFort. Original music was done by Jesse Case, along with Dane Halverson. And our original artwork was done by Mark Nishan. Thank you again to Rebecca Hansen for coming by. Meet me at Dunlovey's Tavern and talking a little bit with Gladys Farm. Again, if you are a fan of the new Mystery Science Theater, or the old Mystery Science Theater, just Mystery Science Theater 3000 in general, please check out the new upcoming shows. Rebecca has been a big part of that. And if you want to find her on social media, you can check her out at Funky Beck. If you like the show and you want to support us, please like and subscribe. And if you'd like to donate to the show, you can find us on patreon.com at My Neighbors Are Dead. Follow us on Instagram at My Neighbors Are Dead and on Twitter at My Dead Neighbors. Again, thank you so much for listening to the show, and we'll see you next week.
One Million Musicals presents...
This is the story of Nellie, who nobody knew.
A brand new musical full of magic and adventure.
I'm gonna cross the purple dragon sea and find somewhere a home for me.
Featuring 15 original songs and a stellar cast from across Broadway, film, and television. The Ballad of Nellie, Who Nobody Knew. Now available wherever you get your podcasts.
Campfire.